Good morning and welcome back to the Honey Coated Words podcast. This is your host, Emma. I am so incredibly excited for today's podcast episode because it is going to be another major foundational building block to the episodes in the future because this is something that really, I believe, everyone should know about. I believe it is like a core thing that we should be, one of the core things that we should be doing as Christians, and that is deliverance. But before I get into what deliverance is and all of the fun things that we're going to be talking about today, I'm going to open us up in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for the day that you have given us, Father. I pray that you would soften the hearts, tune the ears, and open the eyes of the people listening to this so that they may all see, hear, and know you for who you truly are, God. I pray that you would give me wisdom and discernment as I speak, Lord, that you would anoint this podcast episode to reach whoever it is supposed to reach, God. And I pray that you would just thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so what is deliverance? If you've heard of deliverance, you might be confused as to what it is, if it's biblical. If you haven't heard of deliverance, I'm going to, one, assure you now, it is biblical, and it's something that the Lord wants us to do with other people. So let's go ahead and get started first. What is deliverance? Deliverance is the act of helping someone get free by the power of the Holy Spirit. So free from any kind of bondage, whether that's anxiety, depression, addiction, disease, mental health issues. I mean, all of those things the Lord never wanted us to go through, but he gave us provisions to be able to do deliverance with one another and help each other get free. But deliverance isn't a new concept. It's not something that was just made up. First, in the Old Testament, God delivered his people out of captivity countless times. Countless times. We see this in books like Exodus and Judges, and all throughout the Old Testament, we see God delivering his people. So we see God's people in the Old Testament delivered from Egypt or out of Egypt. We see God part the Red Sea for said people. We see God fight for them even when all odds are against them. Like if you read the book of Joshua, he gave them victory and fought with them and delivered them from their enemies. We also see in Judges that when they forsook God, their actions led them into suffering and pain. But every single time they forsook him and they were in their suffering and pain and they cried out to God for help, God sent someone to deliver them, to help them, that was the whole point of Judges. Bondage and captivity were never God's plans for us. God warns us in both the Old and the New Testament that our sinful actions can lead us into said bondage. So when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we still have we are still able to, again, if we fall into an addiction, that's bondage. We can still fall into bondage as born again believers. And it's important that we know this and are aware of this so that we can, again, know the truth. The Old Testament focuses on deliverance of God's people from physical enemies, which honestly, I look at that and then I look at the New Testament and us today, and I believe it's kind of almost like a type and shadow of God when he sends his son to die on the cross to save us from our sins so that we can be delivered from our spiritual enemy. So I think it's really cool how he came to deliver us from sin and also from the curse of the law and give us the ability to be able to obey God through faith in Christ Jesus. In the Old Testament, we see God delivering them from a physical enemy, and in the New Testament, we see God delivering us from a spiritual enemy, which there is a spiritual enemy. That's so important that you know that. Not to like creep you out and like give you the heebie-jeebies, but if you don't know, there is a real enemy, Satan, who wants to steal, kill, and devour, then you're gonna be at a loss because you're not gonna know what to look for and how to defend yourself. Jesus came to die for us and deliver us from sin, which we were enslaved to. That is the Old Testament. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, "For we struggle, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So this right here, Ephesians, goes to prove to us that our battle is not flesh and blood, that our battle is against our spiritual enemy, which influences flesh and blood. But if we are not, one, if you do not believe that demons are real or that Satan is real, you are going to be, susceptible. You're going to get hit around by the enemy because you are being lied to. I'm telling you right now, you're being lied to. Demons are real. Satan is real. Again, I don't say these things to scare you. I am just giving you truth and fact. Because when you know your enemy, you're able to defend yourself from the enemy. So remember, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where our battle is. And to have a spiritual opponent means we need to have spiritual weapons, right? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5. "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power and demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captivity every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So not only do we have spiritual armor, you know, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, we have all of those things. We have weapons as well. Okay? We have weapons that we need to be familiar with so that, again, we can defend ourselves from the enemy, which is spiritual. One of the things that we need to be doing is taking captive our thoughts and going, "Oh, hold on, is this from the enemy? Is this from God?" Because they're coming from one or two places. Your thoughts are either influenced by the heavenly realm or they're influenced by the spirit, by the demonic realm. Now, obviously, there are thoughts that we can think ourselves. For example, 1 + 1 = 2. If I think that in my head, that's my thought. But if you're having these thoughts that you're like, "Oh my gosh, that, why did I just think that? That's so disturbing. That like creeps me out." That's more than likely that is the enemy. But we need to be aware of this, and we need to be able to say, "I choose to not to come into agreement with that thought in Jesus' name." Okay. And another thing, we need to be doing self-deliverance with ourselves. And we need to be coming out of agreement with assignments and with things that the enemy is trying to push on us. So, for example, if I have anxiety all of a sudden and I feel overwhelmed and all these things, I can take the authority that I've been given in Jesus' name, which is a weapon. That's God's word. God has given us this authority, and we will get into that. And I can say, "I take authority and I command the spirit of fear, worry, anxiety, dread, and projection to the future to leave me in Jesus' name. Go now," and it has to leave. And it does. I can tell you from experience, it does. From someone who was chronic anxiety, like I did not live a day without anxiety. I look back and I don't know how I served, like how I like lived. Like I just was ridden with horrible anxiety, fear, and all of these different things. And the Lord brought a wonderful ministry into my life and knowledge into my life and deliverance into my life. And I have never been freer ever. I didn't know before then that I could take authority and I could command depression to leave, that I could command disease to leave, that I could command fear to leave and break addictions and all of these things. But once I knew that I had that power and authority, not because of anything that I have done, but because everything that the Lord has done, He has given me that power and authority. The game changed, guys. Luke 10, verse 19, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all of the power of the enemy, so that nothing shall by any means harm you." All the power of the enemy. All of it. Mark 16, verse 17 through 18. "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons." Okay, so one, we should be driving out demons. "They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. They will drink deadly poison and it will not harm them. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well." So not only do we have the ability the option to spiritually get free. We have the option to physically get free. By his stripes, we are healed, is what God's word tells us. That includes mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually, relationally. In every area of our life, we are meant to live in abundance and in wholeness and in health. And that goes for the physical, for our physical self as well. God wants us to be physically well. And there are so many Christians, so many believers who are walking around in disease and in sickness and in pain, thinking that, oh, it's just, I just have to go through this. I just have to suffer. God doesn't care. Like, I just, no, that is not true. I want you to know now that is not the truth. God wants to see you healed, and God is willing to heal you. But you have to have the knowledge of what that looks like. You have to be able to lay your own self down. You've got to be able to repent. You've got to be able to open yourself up to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart. John 14, verse 11 through 13. Believe me when I say that I am of the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I say unto you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. They will even do greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Okay, so he literally tells us that whoever believes in him should be doing the works that he was doing. What was he doing? Getting people free. Deliverance. That is what deliverance is. It's getting people free. Jeremiah 32, verse 27, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? So I want you to stop and ask yourself, is anything too hard for God? That addiction that you might be struggling with, is anything too hard for God? He can absolutely break that addiction. That anxiety, is anything too hard for God? That disease, that chronic illness, that pain, is anything too hard for God to handle? No. I went through a season where I was very sick, very, very sick, and in pain, and was struggling with horrible anxiety. I was bedridden. I hated waking up in the morning. I was having constant panic attacks. Like, I was having like probably 4 or 5 panic attacks a day. I couldn't eat. I had lost a lot of weight. I was very unhealthy. And it came out of nowhere one day. I mean, out of nowhere. And I believe that was the enemy. I had given the enemy a foothold into my life. He came in like a roaring flood. And I got sick. Really sick. And I panicked for a bit. I was like, God, why are you doing this to me? Well, one, he wasn't. Okay? And I needed to repent for judging him. He was not doing that to me, actually. And then I had to make a decision. I could allow this to control me, and I could allow this to break me, which is exactly what the enemy wants, or I can trust that the Lord is going to get me free. And I chose the latter. Every single day, every moment of every day, every single moment when I was in pain and the world was spinning, literally, and I couldn't breathe, I had to choose God. That was hard. I had to proclaim that God's truths over my life every morning, every night, throughout the day. When I was in the thick of it, I had to proclaim God's truths over me. I had to believe that he was going to heal me. And guess what? He did. But through that, I also got deliverance. I got deliverance all through that by someone who I trust, and they know what deliverance is, how it works. They're very, very spirit-filled. A wonderful, wonderful role model in my life. And they ended up, really doing deliverance with me through that whole season. And I got healed. I wasn't instantly healed. There are some people who get instantly healed. I was not one of them. I did not get instantly healed. It took time. But I did get healed. Luke 8, verse 2. And also some women who had been cured of evil spirits, okay, and diseases, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out of. Again, if you think that demons are not real, you are not familiar with the Bible, either that or you are just, at this point, you're being lied to, or you're choosing to overlook what God is telling you because you simply just don't like this bit of information. Demons are real. And they cause disease. They influence and cause disease. They influence and cause sickness. They influence and cause death. They influence and cause addiction and anxiety and depression and curse and self-hate and bitterness and all of these things. Those are all caused by demons. Matthew 12, verse 22. Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. This man was blind and mute. Those are physical issues. He could not see, and he could not talk. And it was a demon that caused that. And when he cast out the demon, he could both talk and see. Matthew 10, verse 1, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and heal every disease and sickness. So we continue to see that when there is an evil spirit, a lot of the time there is sickness and disease, whether it's physical or it's mental or whatever it is. There is a negative impact on these people's lives. I am not saying there is a demon under every rock. I'm not saying if you woke up with a cold that a demon is influencing that cold. No. Use wisdom and discernment. Test the spirits. As believers, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, again, we can still get ourselves into trouble, right? So if I go and watch a horror movie and I can't sleep and I'm being tormented by nightmares and I have anxiety, that anxiety, yes, is influenced by the demonic realm, but I still chose to go watch that movie. Those are the repercussions of my own actions. I absolutely chose to do that and opened myself up to the demonic realm being able to mess with me. But I also have the opportunity and the option to repent, and that door gets closed to the enemy, and to take authority in Jesus' name and command any and all spirits of anxiety to leave if I participated in witchcraft and occultism, whatever it is that I participated in, to leave in Jesus' name, and then bam. The issue is dealt with. Galatians 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This is Galatians 5, verse 1. This is the New Testament. He literally tells us, do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Whatever that yoke of bondage is, whatever it is, that if it's not of God, if it is not of God and it is not aligned with God's word and God's truth, it's from the enemy. Okay? So as believers, again, I'm going to stress to you that we can be entangled in sin and bondage again. This verse above, again, makes it clear Christ's sacrifice made it possible to become free. To do this, we must stand in partnership with him to live a life of freedom, abundance, and peace. For this to happen, we must also be aware of the foundational principles such as this topic. This is one of many foundational principles. I will have resources down below if you want to learn more about foundational truths, principles, if you want to learn more about deliverance and all these different things from a ministry that I have been watching online for a long time. And it's done wonderfully for me and my life and the people in my life. Again, it says, do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. It also makes it clear as believers, we can become entrapped by the enemy if we give him legal right to do so. We see this daily in believers who suffer from chronic disorders, illnesses, depression, anxiety, addiction, etc. So what can bondage look like? We have gone over a couple, but one example of bondage is, I'll go over anxiety again, which comes from the spirit of fear. We know that fear is a spirit based off of 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, which says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. This spirit's goal is to cause us to step out of faith. If you deal with anxiety and you have an anxiety disorder that is caused by the spirit of fear, it also, if you have anxiety and you struggle specifically with fear, it also means that you have a love problem. I won't get deep into like the whole love problem thing. I will have an episode specifically on that because it's really important. When I learned that my fear problem at the root was a love problem, I mean, again, everything shifted for me. So I will have an episode specifically on that. But here are some examples of what bondage can look like. Illness, mental health issues, diseases, chronic pain, depression, anxiety, alcoholism, addiction, familial curses, self-hate, self-bitterness, I mean, bitterness towards anyone, unforgiveness, anger, wrath, rage, hatred, violence, any and all those things. If you participate in occultic rituals, if you have done Ouija boards and all those things, those will cause bondage. That is witchcraft and occultism, and that is we are not supposed to be partaking in that at all. Like, that is a big no. So how can we get free? You know, because we just went over all of these things, right? How can we get free from said bondage, whatever it is in your life? So this is a bit of a guide that I use and I was taught when doing self-deliverance, that I learned again from that same ministry that God brought into my life many years back. The first step is to recognize. You have to be able to recognize that there is a problem. If you don't recognize the problem and you don't recognize the fact that you need help and you don't recognize the fact that there's a spiritual enemy that is influencing and causing this, then you're not going to get free. And you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you to see and recognize these things. So I encourage you now, I'm going to give you a moment to stop and ask the Holy Spirit to bring up any issues, any spiritual bondage, any baggage, I mean, whatever it is, if you're struggling with something and there's a loop, there's a cycle, whatever it is, I encourage you to stop for a few moments and ask the Holy Spirit to bring it to your attention. I'm just going to give you a couple more moments. Two is take responsibility. Now, what I mean by this is, for example, if I am bitter towards someone hurt me, and I have stepped into unforgiveness and bitterness, that is my, I decided that. That is a sin. I have to take responsibility for the fact that I stepped into unforgiveness and bitterness, and now it's causing all of these issues. This does not excuse what that other person did at all. But I have to take responsibility for my own actions because it's a sin. It doesn't matter how horrible of a thing that person did to you. If you are bitter with them, you are in sin. We have to take responsibility for our sin. If I'm in fear, I'm not in faith, and that's a sin. If you struggle with depression, okay, that's a spirit of heavy depression, ungodly grief and sorrow. And believe it or not, that's something that we need to repent for participating in. And when I say that, I don't mean that you're wrong, you're bad, I can't believe you did. No, but it means that we participated in a spirit that was not of God. And honestly, that depression, that whatever it is, could be generational, right? Did your mother struggle with it? Did your father struggle with it? Did their mother or father struggle with it? If so, that is a generational familial thing that never was dealt with, repented of, but you have the opportunity to do it now. So I'm going to, again, give you a moment to take responsibility for anything that needs to be taken responsibility for in your life so that we can move on to the next step. I'm going to give you a couple more moments. Three is repent. It's important that we repent for what we have taken responsibility for. It's important that we repent for, if I am addicted to pornography, Father, I repent and ask for forgiveness for watching things that I shouldn't have watched, for participating with a spirit of lust, seduction, and perversion. You know, and a lot of these people, a lot of you guys don't know all of these different kinds of spirits that influence us. That's something that I will be going through as well with you guys. Repent for any and all things that you participated in that are not of God. Don't excuse yourself. Don't do it. Just do the repentance. I'm going to give you a couple moments. Now we renounce, which means come out of agreement with. So it's typically repent and renounce. So I come out of agreement with this anxiety. I come out of agreement with this depression. I come out of agreement with bitterness. I come out of agreement with hate. I come out of agreement with self-hate. I come out of agreement with X, Y, and Z. So you can literally say, I come out of agreement with what I just said, X, Y, and Z. Next step is remove, which means doing deliverance. So then you would say something like, okay, for example, if I am really struggling with bitterness, I would say, I take authority in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and I command any and all spirits of unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, often other spirits that are accompanied with bitterness, are retaliation, anger, wrath, rage, hatred, violence, and murder. No, that does not mean you have had murderous thoughts or hate someone. It just means that typically with bitterness, if it's left unchecked, it grows to these things. Then we want to make sure that we just knock it all out. So I command the spirit of bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, whatever you've participated in, to leave me in Jesus' name. So now that we've done the remove, it's resist. What we mean by resist is, the enemy, a lot of the time, will try and come back and influence you to just try and do the same thing, okay? So if you find thoughts where you're like, oh, did I really forgive that person? Nope, I choose not to receive that in Jesus' name. Trying to get out of this of addiction, and you've been doing deliverance, and you find you're having a weak moment, and you're like, oh, I really want to go back to that. Nope. I take authority and I command the spirit of lust, seduction, perversion to leave me in Jesus' name. So you're going to have to resist. Example, if you struggle with depression, or if you struggle with anger, and you have a moment where that, like, it hits you, you can say, one, if it's tempting you to do that, so you have the urge to do it, that doesn't mean you've sinned, you can say, I choose not to receive you in Jesus' name, X, Y, and Z. If you have done it again, you can repent and say, Lord, I repent and ask for forgiveness for participating in X, Y, and Z. I take authority and command X, Y, and Z to leave in Jesus' name. And then we rejoice. We praise the Lord for his goodness. We praise him for the fact that he is wonderful, and he is patient with us, and he teaches us, and he is gentle. He is El Shaddai, El Elyon. He is Abba Father. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Rose of Sharon. You praise him. You give him all the glory in Jesus' name. And then the last one, restore. Do this with other people. I am not necessarily saying that if you're new to this, just go to the next person and be like, hey, can I do deliverance over you? This is something that is learned. But the goal and eventually is for you to be comfortable with this and get to know this so that you can do this with other people and lead them in deliverance. So those are the 8 steps that I would recommend you taking. So those are the 8 steps that I recommend you taking, and the steps that I will be taking when I do deliverance over the next episodes over you guys. So how this is going to work is I am going to be specifically going over specific spirits, which we call strong men. And they're like the head honchos, and then under them are quote-unquote underlings. They're things that kind of accompany. So again, with fear, what accompanies fear is anxiety, worry, dread, projection into the future, all these different things accompany that spirit of fear. So I'm going to be going, having an episode specifically over fear, over bitterness, over witchcraft and occultism, over much more than this. The main ones and then their underlings. And then once I go over them, at the end, there will be a deliverance session where I do deliverance over you. And I will be asking you, you know, to take a moment to recognize, to take responsibility. And then I'll ask you, do you repent and ask for forgiveness for X, Y, and Z? Do you repent and renounce for ask for forgiveness for X, Y, and Z? And then I will be doing the deliverance over you. And what this will do is it will give you a good understanding of how you can do it over yourself. So this episode, I really want to just go over kind of deliverance, if it's biblical, what it is, how I kind of do it, how you can do it for yourself. And then these next episodes that will be following this, I'm going to really go in depth with more of these, like getting very specific. I also want to touch on the fact very briefly that a lot of these issues that we talked about here are caused by the doors opened by traumatic and unloving events in people's lives. And this is really important to know and understand, because a traumatic and unloving event is never something that God wants for us. And when those kinds of events happen to us, whether it's someone leaving, someone dying, if someone gets bullied, whatever it is that was, if someone said a hurtful word to you someone betrayed you, traumatic and unloving events open the door for the enemy to work in our lives. And God wants to heal your heart from those traumatic and loving events, because what happens is when those things happen to us, it breaks our heart. And when we have a broken heart, we have a susceptible heart to the enemy. So without further ado, thank you so much for tuning into the Honey Coated Words podcast. We're going to just pray this out. Thank you, Father, for bringing anyone here who listens to this, God. I pray that you would open their eyes, Lord, that you would show them your truth, God, that you would show them your love, that you would bring to them remembrance of all things that you have said, Lord. I pray that you would help them to see past anything that they have been taught that was incorrect, God, and that you would help them to see again your truth, Lord, that you would help them to understand your word, that you would give them that fire and that longing to be close with you, to have an intimate relationship with you, God, and to be healed and to understand your love for them, for others, God, that you would help them to understand your identity, Lord. Thank you, Father, and I praise you. You are wonderful and glorious. You are El Shaddai, El Elyon. You are Rapha. You are Abba, Father. You are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lion of the Tribe of Judah. You are Rose of Sharon. God, you are wonderful, and we thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Also, I want to make it clear that for the enemy to be able to mess with you, in a sense, you have to give him legal right to do so. So, for example, again, if I am heavy into fear and anxiety and I don't deal with it and repent of it, I give the enemy legal right to continue to mess with me and make me fearful and anxious and all these different things, which then opens the door for other issues.